Jeremiah chapter 8. One of the favorite admonishments I have from the scripture for believers. Jeremiah chapter 8. He says, verse 22. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? Why is your problem not coming to an end? Why is that problem persistent and persistent and persistent? Is there no cure for your problem? Somebody answer me now. Is there no cure? Then why? Praise God. Why? I have a daughter, that's her favorite language. You tell her, go and eat, she will tell you why. Go and sit down there. Why? Jesus is asking you too, his children, why? Why is your situation not changing? Why is your own getting worse and worse? It is either of the following reasons. Number one, it's Isaiah 59, verse 1. Isaiah 59, verse 1. You pray every day. You fast every day. You've gone to mountain to mountain. This is number one reason. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shutting that it cannot save, because there is Baal in Gilead. Neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. Verse 2. This is the reason why some of us, our prayers are not heard. One, he said, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. So, iniquity. Remember there, he didn't say your sin. Sin. Amen. Sin. And iniquity. They are the same, but iniquity goes beyond sin, because it has a qualification. Iniquity is that you know the right thing to do and you refuse to do it. That is, you know what you are doing, you shouldn't do it, or you know that this is what you should do and you refuse to do it. It is counted for you as iniquity. Because you have no excuse. You know what to do. You know that God does not answer your prayer when you do certain things here. You know God will not answer your prayer. You know. And yet, you expect God to deliver you through your prayers. He say, it is that iniquity which withhold his hand from delivering you. And it's important that you take note of this, because a lot of us take things for granted. God works by principle, by principle. If you are going to trust in God, if you are going to depend on him and him alone, then follow him the way he should be followed. God is not a man. I quoted the scripture, verse 6 or so, of Hebrew chapter 11. It says, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is God. And he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He rewards those who diligently seek him. He rewards those who diligently seek him. Praise the Lord. And to seek God diligently is talking, connoting seriousness. Because it is the way you walk with God that God will walk with you. I always like to say these things because people are serving God and they don't even know the God they are serving. People who worship a shrine, they know the shrine that they are serving. They know if you misbehave, he will deal with you. It's only we Christians. And I'm not saying this to condemn anybody. I'm saying this for you to wake up. Because it is never too late with God. It's never too late with God. You are not too old to marry. You are not too old to give birth. The evidence is in the Bible. We have Sarah. We have Anna. We have Elizabeth. We even have Rebecca, Isaac's wife, 40 years after marriage, before she delivered. So, how old are you? How old is your problem? Concerning your sickness, 38 years, one man was by the pool of Bethesda. See his healing. See the pool, but no strength to enter there. But it ended one day. Amen. And don't think that you are in any estate that God cannot see. Amen. Don't think you have any deficiency that you cannot reach to God, because there is a blind man called blind Bartimaeus. His blindness did not stop him from touching Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. And as long as you get serious with God, blind Bartimaeus say, I know you see, but my voice is sharp. You will hear my voice. You will hear my voice. Make sure God hears your voice. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And they say it's a curse. Somebody curse you. Somebody do this. Somebody do that. Even God himself told King Hezekiah, Aya, your death sentence, your death don't come. God himself said it. Hezekiah's prayer made God to stop the death that he, God, intended for Hezekiah. So your prayer can change even God. How much less any witch that has spoken and given you a date? The only problem is our iniquity. And the second reason is ignorance. Ignorance. Praise the Lord. That's the third one. I combined two together. Number one is iniquity. Number two is your prayerlessness. Your lack of seriousness in prayer. That's number two. Prayer. You refuse to pray. God's only provided way to answer our prayer, to grant our heart desires, prayer. It's not enough that you are living a holy life. It's not enough that you are a virgin. No man has kissed you before. It's not enough that you don't steal. You don't do anything bad. You must jam it with prayer for that your holiness to benefit you more. Very well. Prayer. Like I spoke, to our people yesterday night in our program last night here. I was saying that when the devil wants to get at a church or at an individual, he goes into the area that will work best for him. And the one area that will work for Satan is if he can stop you from praying. I was telling you people last night, those of you who were here, I told you, I said that all this one that they came to demolish this church, everybody will say Satan doesn't want this church to. I say that action was only a distraction. That one is not affecting Satan, because after all we can go and gather in another place. So just distraction, just destabilize. I say the demon that they sent to do that job, now these small demons, small demons, just distract them. Distract, distracting spirit. When Satan means to get this church, it's not by demolishing. It's not by bringing police to seal that gate. When Satan wants to destroy this church, he will do it like he did it in the Pentecostal movement. All of you that are old enough that know the history of this Pentecost that was restored in 1906, you know that the Pentecostals before, their identity was prayer. That was the identity of Pentecostals. They had more in 1906, the restoration of the gifts. They loved prayer because that was the period the gifts were flowing now. Every week, vigils here and here. When they gather, they pray, and then things were happening. Revival fires were everywhere. People would come and speak in tongues, genuine tongues. Oh, I mean, this is why they don't teach people to speak now. Fire was going on. Then Satan started his assignment. He cannot stop the fire like that. And see the estate that the Pentecostals are now. A true living church, prayer should not be a program. A true living church, prayer is a normal thing in every church. In fact, it is part of the weekly activities. It should be. That's what I believe. But what happened now? Those who were fire. What they did, what the devil do, he knew what he did and he achieved it. Now, Pentecostal churches, they have night vigil once in a month. Not only once in a month, their service is 2 hours on Sunday. First service, 2 hours. Second service, 1.5 hours. Third service, 1 hour. My church should go be that. Within 1.5 hours, 2 hours, what time did you pray? How long did you pray? How long did they preach? They used 1 hour to collect offerings. I used the other 1 hour to welcome newcomers and tell you how wonderful their geo is. I was trying to tell you what hinders our prayers. And I say one of them is your iniquity, your sin. The second one is lack of prayers. And that anyone that refuses to pray, Satan has gotten you like he got the Pentecostals and reduced them to what they are today. And the third reason is ignorance. Because you say, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. But Jesus himself said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I don't have time to talk too much today because I want us to pray. Praise God. I want us to bless the people. I want the ministers to bless the people. I want to have enough time to bless you. But in case there's anybody here that has not yet been baptized, water baptism, opportunity is here today for you. The water is ready. The ministers are ready. We even have baptismal cloth you can change and baptize with. And why we emphasize that is because most churches don't even bother to talk about water baptism. There are some of you that are members of certain churches for years, but you have not yet been baptized, water baptism, because your pastor has not emphasized it as he should, because he may not even know the importance. Because if you knew the importance of water baptism, it is a very important message from the Bible. You see, they emphasize on tithes and offerings. They teach it very well, for very obvious reasons. And you are grounded on it. But unknown to you, heaven doesn't know you yet. Unfortunately, heaven doesn't even know you yet. Church, the reason why we are in the condition that we are in today, it is because of what happened in the Garden of Eden between Eve, Adam, and serpent. That separated man from God and all the Adamic race. We were cut off from God. So Satan took over. And Satan is in charge of every human being from that day.
He got the power. He received the power according to the spiritual law. The power belonged to him until he could tell Jesus that the whole kingdoms belong to him. And he meant it. Yes, it belonged to him. It was passed over to him through what happened. And for God to reunite us back to him, he ignited another principle that we remove our sins from us so that we can have access to him. For it is written in Hebrews 9:22, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. The blood of Jesus Christ was said. That is the reason Jesus said, went to the cross of Calvary. He went to the cross to break that curse, to remove the veil that separated man from God, signified by what was a type in the temple that separated the presence of God, where the Ark of the Covenant and the Shekinah glory of God was, from the outer court, the congregation. No man could go there. You enter there and you die. That was a separation. It was speaking of a separation between God and man, his own creature. Until he went to the cross and tore that veil as the body of Jesus Christ was torn. There, and the Bible says, when he gave up the ghost, he settled the matter. What did he say before he gave up the ghost? You don't know? Say it if you know it. He shouted, "It is finished." And that says symbolically also at the temple, it tore from up down, and then what nobody had access to, everybody now had access to. And he said, "Come boldly to the throne of grace and obtain mercy in the time of need." Come boldly. It is finished. Jesus Christ took all the problems and nailed them on the cross on Calvary. Took our guilt and bore our guilt. He bore our infirmity. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon him. And for every sickness in life, whether it's your marriage that is sick, your business is sick, your whatever aspect of your life you are sick, physically you are sick, he declared, "By his stripes we are healed." The importance of water baptism, therefore, he made a provision when he said, "Go and baptize," is to identify, to show that you believe that you are the reason Jesus Christ went to the cross on Calvary. You demonstrate it as you repent, acknowledging your wretchedness, your stubbornness, and confessing you won't do it again. Make that decision. That is, you die with him. Then you are buried with him. That water, you enter that water, you come out for the hope of resurrection also. Because grave did not hold him captive. Grave will not hold us captive. We have a hope of resurrection. Praise the Lord. Once you come out of that water, that sin that separated us from God is washed away. We are standing justified with him. That is how important it is. It is at that state now you can go for prayers. It is at that state now you can go for deliverance. It is at that state now that you can fight the devil, and there will be a power that will stand before you. And what is that power? That overcoming power, according to Revelation chapter 12 and verse 11, is that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb. That blood that was shed on the cross on Calvary then speaks for us. For he said, "We have come before the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than the blood of Abel." What is he speaking? It is testifying before the mercy seat. And Jesus Christ is our advocate according to 1 John chapter 2. He is our advocate. He is in a spiritual court. He is the one that stands and gives Satan reason why he cannot touch us. Because he has paid the price for our sin on the cross on Calvary. And we have identified with it. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm telling you, you have not done your water baptism. No matter what confession you make with your mouth, you are wasting your time. Satan knows better. All you do when you go to that man of God and he pray for you, and you say the problem left, it is what I call symptomatic treatment. When you meet a good doctor, he will go to the root of that problem. Every headache you have,
Headache is not a sickness. Headache is a symptom that there is a sickness in your body. Everybody knows that. So if you are sick, you have a headache, you go and take Panadol. You have only cooled down the symptom. You know the sickness, the cause of that headache is still there. One of the commonest causes of headache, for instance, is stress. So if it is stress that is causing a headache, you find out that it is stress. The solution is not Panadol. The solution is go and sleep and rest. If you take Panadol, you have only postponed it. And while you are doing that, the something is increasing. Before you know what, you collapse one day. Then they go send a demon catch you. Not be anything. It is that you did not know the cause of that headache. You were taking Panadol. Listen, church. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The reason why you may be suffering whatever problem that refuses to go, the reason why that demon is following you, it is because there is a covenant linking you, whether through your ancestors or you directly. And he's making a right claim over you. And he knows the spiritual law. That's why he's making that claim over you. And then you are busy going, and then one church told you that you have to do 3 days dry fasting. There's nothing like that. 3 days fasting will not take an ancestral problem away from you. When the fire is too much in the atmosphere, he will step aside. After 2 days, when he waka waka tire, he say, "Well, that my man self." He will come back again. Why? There is no law that you stand before that separates you from that spirit. He will come back. He will come back. We are saying it now. What we are teaching is different from what you hear in your denominations. But I am telling you, you will know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I am telling you, if you have this knowledge, you won't go and give anybody money to go and pray for you. Nothing. 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 Praise God. Praise the Lord. One judge was telling me that there's a particular man, anytime he has a case in their court, he said, the man, when you ask, say, "Where is your lawyer?" He will say, "I am myself lawyer by myself." I say, why? He said, number one, he said, those people have money, then they find. He said, the thing where then they quote, he know him. He go quote him and defend himself. So they will say, okay, go ahead. Amen. He said, when they talk, sometimes the judges won't talk. He said, the person will stand up and say, "Shut up. You don't know what you are saying." The judges will look themselves. The man is telling them they don't know what they are saying. And then he will prove his case. So he said, lawyer, not the chopping money. Praise God. He said, because he knows he's right. I'm not saying you should not take lawyer. Because there are a lot of things lawyer know where you don't know. Praise the Lord. But I'm telling you that even we have a lawyer spiritually. Who is our lawyer? Shout his name. Shout his name again. And the interesting thing about our lawyer that excites me in this spiritual court is that our advocate is also the judge. He said, "The Father judgeth no man, but that the Father has committed all judgment to the Son." And that same Son again is your advocate. That means before the case starts, you have already won. Oh, praise the Lord. You should know these things. That is the thing that gives me confidence. Somebody asked me one day, he said, "Hey, Pastor, I want to know, what is it that gives you boldness like this?" I say, he said, "Is it because you're a former military man?" I said, "Now only me joined soldier before. Other soldiers, then they speak like me. There are other soldiers that are pastors. In fact, there are all the pastors in military barracks, they are officers, isn't it? Of those, they are dead churches. Now, I'm saying, what gives me boldness? It's not military anything, it's a knowledge. There is a knowledge I have that gives me boldness. Boldness. That knowledge gives me confidence on the word of God. That knowledge gives me confidence to face any demon. I have never confronted any problem with a sensation. Where I will wait. Somebody is sick. Father, sister, wait to. Wait for fire. And they wait for fire. Sister, wait to. And they wait for fire. Then when I receive fire, then I say, in the name of Jesus. There's nothing like that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What gives me boldness? It is written. That's enough for me. It is written. If not, all of us will be following all these people when they fall under anointing before they pray for people. Since they fall under anointing, it means God don't come. God don't come. Hey, me, I just stay like this. Nothing like that, though. I'm telling you now. The just shall live by faith. Is the substance of things hoped for. What gives your faith substance is the word of God. It is written. All scripture is given by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. If it's the Holy Ghost that wrote this Bible, he is obligated to back it when I quote it. Praise God. Praise the Lord. So don't say he has one special grace. Which special grace? The special grace is given to everyone that knows the truth. And knows the truth. He said, this sign shall follow them that believe. And you can't believe what you don't know. You can only believe what you know. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So, water baptism is one key to your deliverance. After you have repented. All your sins till that day you enter that water and come out is washed away. The devil will come to look for something to accuse you of. He will discover he cannot find anything. But when he tries to remind you of what you did before that day, you gave your life to Christ and went into water baptism, then you can tell him that Satan, you are a liar. And you should jump and be happy. Anytime you are happy, a sinner is happy. You are happy because, hallelujah, you are free from Satan. Your sins are gone. And you can join me to sing this song. They ask me why I'm happy. So I just tell them why. Because my sins are gone. And when I read the scriptures, will ask me why I say my sins are gone. My sins are gone. I'm happy. Abortion, yes. I kill, yes. I stole, yes. I was hearing a testimony yesterday that a minister went to a sister to pray. The sister didn't know her. But as soon as he entered the room to pray, she was in an emergency. And they phoned him to go and pray for the sister in their house somewhere. He said, immediately the man entered there. The sister's eye was open. So when he finished the prayers, she was restored. Then he said, see, immediately you enter the room. And then that young man, the sister's eyes were open and he saw, you know, this bullet they used to chain, tie bullet all around with a gun and plenty guns hanging around him. So she says, brother, I don't know you, but as you enter like this, this is what I saw. And the guy said, yes, you saw right. I was a confirmed arm robber. He said, international one for that matter. He said, but that is my old self. I am now, hallelujah, a soldier for Christ. All my past are gone. No matter what abominations you committed before, even if you beheaded anybody for any reason before, you did it the other side. But when you pass through that blood, you confess, you repent, and you confess and repent and enter that water and come out. All that history, that testimony is wiped away in the court of the Spirit. Satan cannot use it against you again. Hallelujah. Maybe you owe the devil anything through a covenant, whatever it is that they did for you in a river, in a shrine, and that spirit is demanding it from you. I hear that Savior say,
child of weakness, watch and pray.
Hallelujah.
Jesus paid
it
all.
That's the confidence we have. He paid the debt he did not owe. We owe the debt that we could not pay. We needed someone, and for God so loved the world that he answered us. He gave us his only begotten son. That's the reason he went to the cross on Calvary. It's not just to make you to be rich. It's part of the cross. But the major reason why he went there is to remove the separating wall between God and man and unite us together. Hallelujah. That is why he keeps emphasizing seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Be connected to him first. All other things is automatic. Your healing is automatic. Your deliverance is automatic. And above all, that is the reason why this world is going to face destruction. Because life is offered unto the world, they rejected it. One of these days, you will understand why Apostle Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 7, referred to Jesus Christ as our Passover. Yes, there was a lamb that was slain in Exodus chapter 13. While the last plague before they left Egypt for the promised land, Israel. After the last plague, there was going to be weeping and wailing in every family. The angel of death will pass through the land, but there was a lamb, a Passover lamb, that you are to apply that blood. Hallelujah. You are to apply that blood in the doorposts and the lintels of your house. When that angel of death will be passing through the land, when he see that blood, he will pass over. And this day, hallelujah, Jesus Christ is our Passover. The blood is not applied physically on the doorposts of any other physical building, or the lintels of the door of any physical building. Praise the Lord. When Jesus Christ said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. It's not standing at the door of your house. It's the door to your soul, which is your heart. Hallelujah. And we are to apply that blood in our hearts, the door to our soul. And when you see that blood, you will pass over. That is where you are to apply that blood. To change that stony heart to a heart of flesh. To change you from a sinner to a saint. That is where you are to apply that blood. And to apply that blood is to apply the life that is in the blood of Jesus Christ. And that life is eternal life. That's why we sing that song. Down at the cross, where my Savior died. Down we are from cleansing from sin. I cry, the answer to my heart. I cry, and I'm singing glory to His name. Glory to His name.
Let's come.
Fruit of the womb for 10 years, we had a testimony for Sowia Kwaibom. It was not the oil that did it. It was not the water that did it. It was Jesus that used the oil to do it. Hallelujah. And today, Jesus will step into your matter. Let the pain continue. One day, he will step in, that pain will stop. And I want you to note, take note, I've said this before. It was William Branham that gave us that secret. That is, at that point, some people lose their testimony, they lose their miracle. That when you bring a matter before God, and God has stepped into that matter, one of the evidence you will see is, when you leave God's presence and go, the problem will increase more than before. He said, that is the evidence that something is going on over that matter. Amen. Anytime after praying for that infirmity, then it increases, you should be praising God. All the devil wants you to do is to reject that healing that you receive by faith by confessing negative. Anytime you say, oh, what you carry me go to that church today? Hey! I go die, yo. If they say, no, I go cuckoo day like this, oh, I go die, yo. Then devil will say, not true, no go there again, you hear? Then make a remain. Then, he say, Lord, have mercy upon me, I will not go to bride again. Then the devil will say, okay, then make it remain as it be before you go there. No. Anytime the pain increases, be praising God. It means there is a battle going on. Amen. When somebody wants to drown, when somebody is drowning, just before he dies, after he don't drink, he tire, then he die. But before that, you will see him fighting all the water around there. Faka, 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 faka. Then when he don't die, finish. Then you will see, come. Whoa. He don't drink, he tire, he don't die. But before he died, while he was struggling with death, he was making noise all around. So it is. That moving object, the evidence that something has happened to it, after this water ministration today, it will be moving faster than before. Now something they chase him. Then you say, you must die. Yes, sir, you must die. Die by fire, in fact, die by bomb, in fact, die by haram, die, anything, die, everything. Amen. Don't cry. Attack it the more. Drink more of the water. More. Say, where is the wrong? You wrong, go here. Say, you go hide there. Where the water? Blood of Jesus. In there. Drink them again. Die by fire. Die by fire. Don't give up. Amen. Wherever your tormentor is, today the fire of the Holy Ghost will chase them out of you. So anybody that has not baptized, opportunity is here. And when we say baptize here, we are saying it for your own good. We don't have certificate to give you. If you like, do it. If you like, don't do it. We are not reporting to our headquarters in America or in Abuja or Calabar. We don't have any headquarters anywhere we are reporting to. Hallelujah. Our Heavenly Father is at home. We are responsible to the General Overseer, the Holy Ghost Himself. So when we say come and baptize, we are showing you the way. And we are not saying baptize so that you become our church member. Nobody can be a member of such a church except by revelation. If you don't have revelation, you will never be comfortable in this church. Because here we make it uncomfortable for religious people. So that only those who want to serve God can come here. If you don't want to serve God, don't bother to be a member. God is merciful. Just come for our prayer program. Just come for our prayer program and still remain your Catholic church. Come on Tuesday, come on Wednesday and on Thursday, business breakthrough. Come every Friday. Don't bother to come on Sunday so that you can go to your own church. That's all. Because you will never be comfortable here if you don't want to serve God. Clap your hands for Jesus. Finally, sorry, I forgot to mention. I was just emphasizing baptism because one Catholic person, if they talk now, say, I don't baptize. One Assemblies of God person, if you talk, say, I don't baptize. One Deeper Life go talk, say, I don't baptize. One choosing person go say, then they baptize there. Then they baptize for choosing. Amen. You know, some people don't bother about baptism. It's ignorance. Catholics baptize wrongly. And all those churches that I mentioned baptize wrongly. That's why we always come here to let you correct it. Baptism is by immersion. Sprinkling is wrong. Infant baptism is wrong. And baptism is in a name. According to Matthew 28 verse 19, you are to baptize in a name. One name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Go and baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. One name. It is the name of the Father. It is the same name of the Son. It is the same name of the Holy Ghost according to the Bible. And that name is what? Church. Correct water baptism in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. The certainty of the scripture. We are to baptize as the apostles baptized. Paul baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Peter baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Philip baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I didn't see Father, Son, Holy Ghost again after Matthew 28 verse 19. Why? Because Matthew 28 verse 19 is not to be repeated, it's to be interpreted. Every father has a name, every son has a name, and the Holy Ghost is coming in a name according to the Bible. And that name is the name of God for the purpose of our salvation. What is that name? Jesus. At the mention of that name, every knee bows. Jesus is the name of the creator of the heavens and the earth. For the purpose of our redemption. Jesus means Jehovah, Yahweh saved. Yeshua. Greek name is Jesus. Praise the Lord. So if you baptize Father, Son, Holy Ghost, you are wrong. Go and re-baptize.